Okay, we have reached the end of the book of Ecclesiastes. We've been studying this book for 6 weeks now, and we're at the end. We're going to read the last chapter, maybe a chapter that some people are familiar with when they hear the words Ecclesiastes. If you're new to us or you're a guest or this is your first time with us this morning, don't panic. You'll be able to follow along. The book itself is quite repetitive, so you could have missed the previous number of weeks and still get the whole message, I suppose, by thinking about the situation in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. The words will be on the screen, and you can follow along in your own device or Bible. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come, and the years draw near of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men are bent and the grinders cease because they are few, and those who look through the windows are dimmed and the doors on the street are shut, when the sound of grinding is low, and one rises up at the sound of the birds, and all the daughters of song are brought low. They are afraid also of what is high, and terrors are in the way. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags itself along, and desire fails because man is going to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Before the silver cord is snapped, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity. Besides being wise, the preacher also taught the people knowledge, weighing and studying and arranging many proverbs with great care. The preacher sought to find words of delight, and uprightly he wrote words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads, and like nails firmly fixed are the collected sayings. They are given by one shepherd. My son, be aware of anything beyond these. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. The end of the matter. All has been heard. Fear God and keep his commands, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. And we end there giving thanks to God for his word to us. Much study wearies the body, and the teenager said, Amen. One religious leader has been quoted as saying this: the young people of today think nothing. They think of nothing but themselves. They have no reverence for parents or old age. They are impatient of all restraint. They talk as if they alone knew everything. That's Peter the Hermit, who was born in the year 1050. Thank goodness it's so much different nowadays, eh? Things have progressed so much. In an interview, a question that's often asked of people who have made it, people who have had success in business or as actors, people generally ask them, what advice would you give to a young person wanting to be where you are now? What would you say to someone who wants to get into this line of work? What would be a good course of action as a teenager or as a young person to get to where you are now? And what's happened here is that they're helping someone who is maybe years and years and years away from being in that situation to take steps that are wise, that would help them to be set on a right trajectory so that life would go well. What's the piece of advice you would give? What can they do so that they don't hamper or impact negatively the hopes they have for their future? And in chapter 12 of Ecclesiastes, you might imagine the preacher sitting in a rocking chair by the fire in a residential care home, and someone saying, what would you say to your 17-year-old self? What would you say to your 14-year-old self? What wisdom would you give to the youth of today? And he doesn't want the kids to throw away the incredible opportunities that are before them. Opportunities that will pass quickly with age. Opportunities that are time-bound and will not be around forever. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. You know, Van Morrison sings, Mama told me there'd be days like this. And he's singing positively about, well, there'll be days like this. But actually, the preacher sings, there'll be days like this. The Koheleth is saying, there are days ahead of you, young people, that are not currently on your radar at all. And I want to tell you about them. If only you knew what old age was like, you would act differently now with the energy and the youth and the enthusiasm that you have. Make the most of it. You see, by remembering your Creator in the days of your youth also means that you will remember that you are actually created. And that's a really important thing to recall, to remember not only that there is a Creator, but you are a created being. Remember your Creator. That's the first thing we're going to think about this morning. You know, in the poem Invictus, the guy says, it matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishments the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. And then you go up to your bedroom. Mum, where's my rugby top? You said it's there. I can't see it. And then your mum just goes up and finds it immediately. You're like, I am the captain of my fate. You can't even find your clothes. You don't know where they are. And it's like, you might have a big bedroom, but it's not that big. Remember, you are a dependent being, and the reminders are all around you. You're already thinking about lunch because you're hungry, you're a teenager, you're thinking, I just want to eat again. Let's eat. You don't need a post-it note to remind you to eat. Must, you know, set a reminder on my phone, better eat. There's an internal mechanism within you to say, eat. You get hungry, so your stomach rumbles to say you need something from outside of you to sustain your life. You cannot live apart from food. Not only that, your eyes grow heavy and you need to sleep. Lots of it, apparently. You feel the chill when the door opens and you remember you need clothes. Maybe not a coat, because it's not cool to have a coat, apparently. Do you know that this is one of the indicators that you know you're getting old? You notice people outside without a coat on. Like, for years I just didn't pay attention to that, but now I notice, like, hey, he doesn't have a coat on. I'm like, what's he doing? But we did this course at Carmoney called Second Half Living, and it was helping people to, in their 50s and 60s, to think about the changes that happen with that phase of life that you're not really prepared for. And I was part of the group that put that together, and there were tests to see if you were in the second half of life. And here's some of the tests. It was like, you get electrical products mended. That was, if you do that, you take it for repair, you're definitely in the second half of life. One of the other things, which I found really bizarre, but apparently is a thing, is you take sugar from cafes. Like, you actually take... Some of you are guilty as charged, right? There you go. That's you. You're in the second half of life. But we are dependent creatures. We're dependent. You draw breath into your body from outside of you that is not there. And if the breath doesn't come, you die. You might feel invincible, but you're incredibly dependent on external factors to enable you to sit upright, to see and to hear. Where's my homework folder? Mom, can I have a lift? Here's the letter for the school trip. I'd like to go on it. Well, that's very nice. Great. Have you got the money to pay for it? No, you're a dependent creature. You need assistance. You are limited. Not just young people, but all of us, we are limited. And there are challenges in your life that are beyond other capable adults to put right or to redeem or to restore. There are things in your life and mine that school teachers cannot fix, that the politicians cannot solve, that the consultants have no way of dealing with. And Jen Wilkin says this, "Our limits teach us the fear of the Lord. They are reminders that keep us from falsely believing that we can be like God. When I reach the limit of my strength, I worship the one whose strength never flags. When I reach the limit of my reason, I worship the one whose reason is beyond searching out." It's good to feel those limits. Remember, you're created. We mostly spend time avoiding the fact that we are dependent and created beings. We want to prove to ourselves and to the world that we have got it sorted. I don't need any help. I can just go it alone. Remember, you're created. Don't kid yourself into thinking you're powerful than you are, because there are days ahead that will humble you. And the more deluded you are about yourself, the harder this crash is going to hit your life. The reality will be even more painful. The Koheleth says, there'll be days like this. I have no pleasure in them. The sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened, and the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men are bent and the grinders cease because they are few, and those who look through the windows are dimmed, and the doors on the street are shut, and when the sound of the grinding is low, one rises up at the sound of a bird. All the daughters of song are brought low. They are afraid of what is high. Terrors are in the way. The almond tree blossoms. The grasshopper drags himself along. And desire fails because man is going to his eternal home and the mourners go about the streets. You will find yourself attending funerals more regularly than you ever did before. The lights go out. Do you notice that? The sun, the moon, the stars, the lights go out. Things that you once enjoyed. Things that were once brought happiness. Friends will depart this world. Things that brought you enjoyment will be shut off from you because you think, well, I don't want to go out late at night, or I don't want to travel that far, or things that once brought joy will go. What are these days that Koheleth is speaking of? If life is in seasons, he's talking about this winter of life, isn't he? When there's rain and clouds. It's less like summer and more like winter. Clouds come and the housekeepers are trembling. The ones who guard the house are panicking, fearful of attack. And if this is a picture of the human body, and I think it is, some people would suggest that the housekeepers are your arms. And what's happening to the housekeepers? They're trembling. You once had might and power in these arms to keep the house, to physically defend the house, to get and fend for yourself with your arms. But they're trembling. They now shake as you move the spoon from the bowl of soup to your mouth or hold a cup of tea. And they tremble, and the grinders cease because they are few. Use your imagination. What are the grinders? Hey, young people, most of your teeth are going to fall out. And unlike the last time, new ones won't grow in their place. What about this? One rises up at the sound of a bird. Okay, young people, you might be able to sleep the lunchtime now. But there's coming a time when you'll be glad to get 3 hours before you need to go to the toilet. Look, this is in the Bible. You will waken early. Physically, your body will alert you to the fact that you're in decline. All the daughters of song are brought low. What's that song? I can't hear. Can you turn it up? I didn't catch it. And the volume goes down on everything and your hearing diminishes. He goes on to say there'll be a day when we fear heights, and the almond tree will be a good description of the hairstyle that you wear. Have anyone seen an almond tree? That's what you'll be taking to the barber to say, can you give me one of those? Can you make my hair that color? You will need to give that to the barber, because that's what's coming. That's what's ahead. The Bible is, in Ecclesiastes, is turning our head, like I said before, to look at reality. For all of us to say, don't hide from this. Don't avoid this. It's like the small print of life that we typically overlook, except the preacher is shouting in Ecclesiastes. He's calling out loud to awaken us and to alert us what we cannot avoid. Remember, you're created. But that's not all. He points us to an aspect of life that will not decay, an aspect of life that will endure and be lasting. And he tells us this part of you will go to be with God, and he's going to make a judgment call. And if you are a Christian, you can rest in Jesus. You can remember you're created, but you can rest in Christ. After outlining and in a typically blunt way saying your body will grow weary and tired, he says something really significant in verse 7. He says, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Your spirit will go to God. When teeth fall out and legs buckle and eyes grow dim and hearing fails, eventually we'll reach the point where our bodies become dust from where they were brought originally. And someone will stand at the graveside or in the crematorium and say, for as much as it pleased Almighty God to take himself the soul of our brother or sister here departed, we now commit their body to the ground, earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. But your spirit will not be there in the crematorium or at the graveside, because your spirit will go to be with God. I want to be really clear about this, because there is so much nonsense floating around our culture. Your spirit does not simply hover around here on earth. It doesn't float about as a continuing presence or a lucky charm at sports day. You do not become an angel or a genie who influences the weather for special family events. You do not impact the outcome of sporting challenges. You do not descend on a younger generation as they sit exams or experience hard times. You do not watch over your loved ones in difficult times. The human spirit returns to God who gave it. That's where your soul goes. That's where your spirit goes. Remember, you're created, and if you are a Christian, you can rest in Christ. You will have an encounter with your Creator whether you are a Christian or not. You will meet your Maker. None of your life is hidden from him. None of your childish irresponsibility. None of your boys will be boys banter. None of the messages you send on WhatsApp or Snapchat. None of your student drunkenness or viewing habits on your screen. None of your financial transactions or your coded comments with the opposite, with the member of the opposite member of sex, member of the opposite, what am I trying to say here? Someone who is of the opposite sex. In work, your coded comments. It's all known and seen. All the things that you think you've been really clever at covering up from other people, it's seen before God. And the Spirit returns to God who gave it. And when you read a statement like that, it's easy to understand why the actor Woody Allen said, I'm not afraid to die. I just don't want to be there when it happens. Well, actually, you are. You are afraid to die. The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. God will have the last word. There'll be no, but. You'll not be able to explain away your answer or explain away why you did that thing. You'll not be able to give some context to your actions that God is currently unfamiliar with. Well, he hit me first. I'm like, I saw it all. There's not a situation in your life that he is unaware of. And all his ways are just. So he's not going to wink at your sin. He's not going to turn the other way and say, on you go. I'm going to look the other way. He's just and perfect and holy. And if you realize that you cannot board an aeroplane because you have some things inside your bag that are not allowed, then why would you think you could enter heaven? When your life is full of corruption and evil and sin. You know that question that Abraham asked God as he looked at the evil taking place in the city of Sodom? And Abraham says, shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just? Abraham knew it. God will do the right thing. God cannot sweep our sin and evil and selfishness under the carpet. He has to deal with it. The end of the matter, verse 13, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. We have a problem here because we can't keep his commandments. We feel the weight of that this morning. You think, well, I'm sunk because I sin. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Where does my help come from? And Psalm 121 says, lift your eyes to the hills. When I lift my eyes to the hills, where did my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. In our helplessness, in our createdness, in our vulnerability, in our weakness, in our sin, there is help. We've been singing, haven't we, about Jesus taking our sin? The great chasm. But Jesus Christ is our living hope. He took my sins and my sorrows and made them his very own. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22 says about Jesus, he committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. He has a perfect record. And he gives you, by grace, his perfect record. He generously gives you his life in exchange for yours. The only way to be right with God is to be in the one who is right. To have union with Jesus Christ. You will not be able to hoodwink God into thinking that you're good enough. Paul says to the Colossians in a really encouraging word, your life is hidden with Christ in God. Colossians 3 verse 3, maybe remember a few weeks ago we talked about this. Your life is encrypted, safe, secure. With Christ in God. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. Do you know him this morning? Have you surrendered and submitted your life to Jesus Christ? Because without him, apart from him, there is no hope. Make no mistake, your spirit will return to God who gave it. You will give an account for your life. And you worship today. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. That's our hope. That's our confidence. Remember, you're created. And rest in Christ. Not your own attempts, not your own effort, not your own striving, not your own religious activity. Otherwise, it's hevel, it's vanity, It's meaningless. It's smoke. It's vapor. Counts for nothing. Looks impressive for a short period of time, like a firework, and then it's gone. Remember, you're created. And rest in Christ.